All right. So today we're going to read a devotion out of our Little Visits with God. This is a book you guys can use at your house. We give them away every so often here at church, but a nice devotion book. Today's passage is from 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. God loves a cheerful giver. Can we all say that together, everybody? God loves a cheerful giver. So I'll read the devotion, then I've got some questions for you. So, do you like to give things? Mother, I don't want to give Emma anything for her birthday this year, said Myra. She never gives me anything. She hardly can, said Myra's mother. Her parents are very poor. But do you give presents so you can get some back? Well, I guess so, said Myra, feeling a little ashamed. Look, honey, said Myra's mother, putting her arm around her. You'll never be happy if you give to get. Do you know what the Bible says about giving? What? Asked Myra. It says God's children should give what they want to in their heart. Do you guys point to your heart? What you want to in your heart? They are not to give when they don't want to or because they think they have to. God loves a cheerful giver. You mean God wants us to be happy when we give things to other people? Asked Myra. Yes, said her mother, because he gave us his son Jesus as a gift, and he gives us his love and anything we need. Jesus wants us to give to poor people, doesn't he? Said Myra. Yes, said her mother, and that's one way of showing our love to Jesus. Mother, said Myra, will you let me take a big cake to Emma for her birthday? She never has a birthday cake. Myra's mother gave her a big hug. God loves a cheerful giver, she said again. And the next day when Myra took the cake over to Emma, Emma was so happy. She also hugged Myra. When Myra came home, she said to her mother, it was fun doing what pleases Jesus. All right, you guys ready for the questions? Okay. Why didn't Myra want to give Emma a present? Why didn't Myra want to give Emma a present? Yeah, Emma never gave her a present, right? So she didn't want to give her a present. What did her mother tell her? What did her mother tell her? God loves a cheerful giver. Yeah, we don't give to get, but we give because we've been given something. What kind of giver does God love? What kind of a giver does God love? Kyla? A cheerful giver. What special reason do we have for giving cheerfully to others? What special reason do we have? What has God done for us? What has God done for us? He died on the cross for us to take away our sins. Yeah, and that makes us want to give for others too. Why did Myra's mother hug her? Why did Myra's mother hug her? Do you guys remember? Because she was thankful that Myra was doing what pleased God, and she was happy to give. Why did Emma hug her? Why did Emma hug Myra? Okay. Yeah, she was happy because her friend gave her a big cake, and she hadn't had one before. All right, let's pray. Bow our heads, fold our hands. Dear Lord Jesus, please keep us from being selfish with what we have. Help us to be thankful that you gave us your life and everything we have. Make us willing to show our thanks by being cheerful givers, especially to those who need help. In your name we pray. Amen. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, your brothers and sisters in Christ. Christmas time brings with it the need for us to indulge in many different customs, traditions, and gatherings, and all these wonderful, wonderful things. Also, opportunities for gathering together as a family of believers to worship the reason for the season, our dear Lord Jesus Christ. Remembering his birth at Bethlehem so many years ago, and also looking forward to his return to bring us home. Along with this, it's reflected in our Christmas songs that we hear on the radio, in our conversations, also in our mailboxes. You know, whether you get two Christmas cards or 20 or more, it's all a part of it. And also in our mailboxes, something else usually comes along. A request or an opportunity to give to some charitable group or people, and you look at these things and you ever wonder, does God have anything to say about our charitable gifts. Well, God has things to say about everything. He's our God, and he gives us wisdom, and he guides us in this life, and he has plenty to say about our gifts. Especially this morning, we look at our gifts to those fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who are in need. And God encourages us that our gifts would be purposeful, planned and practical, and in the right sense, privileged. God's people in Jerusalem and Judea had been struggling for a while, and it seemed pretty apparent that they weren't able to meet their own basic physical needs. And the Apostle Paul enlists all the congregations he had founded and served kind of across the map to help. And they jumped at the opportunity to help their brothers and sisters in Christ on the far side of the map to provide for their own, to provide for their physical needs. Hear now the words of 1 Corinthians chapter 16 as Paul gives advice and encouragement in this giving that we do. Now about the collection for the Lord's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Paul was coming to visit, and he had told them about this. They were excited to do it, and he gives them encouragement as they prepare for his visit. He talked about so many other things as well during the letter to the Corinthians, but he also addresses this in chapter 16, and he wants them to be ready. Well, how could they be ready? Well, Paul says it this way now about the collection for the Lord's people. We want to be purposeful in our gifts, right? And so we think through these things, we pray through these things. And for Paul, he was saying this is for the Lord's people, that we as believers would recognize a need in our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, that we get to know one another, we rejoice at meeting together in God's house and worshiping him and getting to know one another as the body of Christ, so that, you know, just as in your physical body, you know, you know when your elbow hurts, well, then you probably want to do something about that, or your foot, every time you step on it, there's pain, maybe it's broken, you're going to do something about that to help it. So also in the body of Christ, the body of believers, we're going to recognize when one part is hurting, and we are going to recognize that we've been given gifts. Part of them can be used to help that need. And so we recognize this is the Lord's people. We are part of this great body of Christ, and what a blessing it is. And we need to be purposeful, because the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh will rise up when we talk about giving. They'll say, no, this is mine. I've earned it, or I was given it because I deserved it, and this is mine. If I give some to someone else, then there's going to be less for me and the good things I wanted to do and the good plans and ambitions I had. And that's true. If we give some to others, we may have less, at least for a time, but this is a wonderful reminder to us that everything we have is God's, and we're part of something greater outside of ourselves. We're part of his body. And so we need this reminder and this opportunity. Secondly, sometimes the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh will try and make us judge others and say, you know what, they don't deserve it. They did these things, or they misused this, or it's because of a poor decision they made, or they're not worthy of this gift. We could get into this more, but we know that's not a good way to go about it. Certainly we don't want to hurt someone with our gifts. You know, if someone's caught up in something or maybe an active addiction, we're not going to plop down a bunch of cash in their lap that could be misused, but we are going to seek to help them in a way that's going to serve them and going to encourage them on the right path. We still seek to help. And also in this purposeful, we will recognize that maybe there's things we don't give to. You know, groups that are doing something sinful, or even religious groups who are promoting some false doctrine, we'd say, okay, we're going to hold off on giving to that or be cautious about that. And also, we're going to avoid the scams, but we're going to seek to help fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, especially with these gifts. Paul says, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. Okay, so Well, think about that. This is Corinth. Travel around the map to a different area, even maybe a different culture, and you get to Galatia, a different side of things where maybe these two congregations had never even really met. And both of them, along with the Philippians, were all gathering this gift for people they had probably never met in Jerusalem and Judea. Mostly probably Jewish converts, and the others mostly probably Gentile converts to Christianity. But in the body of Christ, there was no time for prejudice or racism or looking at a different culture and looking down on it or someone's customs or whatever it was. There was no time for that because they were brothers and sisters in Christ. And that was how it was to be back then. That's how it's to be right now, as we truly see each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. And our gifts are then purposeful because we're helping the brothers and sisters in Christ, the body of Christ. They're also to be planned and practical. Paul says, on the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up. Christians regularly support, they give to the Lord out of thanks to Him and support the workers they've called. They give to support mission work. They give and allot the different amounts of money for the budget or for the heat, the mortgage or the rent or whatever it is. We capture all the different things and we try to give the right amount to each. We want to be good stewards. But also Paul says here, also set aside something for those who are in need, especially in the family of believers. Now this is a plan. Plan for this. Plan to do these things. On the first day of every week, each one of you. Well, this also helps because we heard in the children's message, God loves a cheerful giver, right? So it's not like, oh, that was today, Paul. Oh, no, I didn't. Okay, what's in the wallet? What's in the purse? Honey, what do we have in the checking account? And just kind of throw something together. Or the opposite where it's like you see everybody else giving. You're like, well, I should probably give too, even though I don't want to. And you're like kind of begrudgingly. No, God doesn't want that. He wants your heart. He wants you to see your brother and sister in Christ in need, and in love, share with them and help them. God loves a cheerful giver, understanding what God has done for them and then doing so for others. On the first day of every week, they treasured it up. This wasn't necessarily they brought every week, but they treasured it up for that day Paul was going to arrive and take this gift to Judea and Jerusalem. And so, can we do this today? A parent of whose children were grown in our congregation, gave me this and said, this is what I used in my house to train the kids, whether it was the mission offering or gifts for other people. And on the front, you could kind of see Jesus in the manger with a donkey and a lamb with a bell and a squirrel, which I'm sure was historically accurate, But the point that they were giving gifts because of the gift given to them that they were going to use for others. And they were setting this aside. And then when the opportunity presented itself, they had this to give. And in love, to cheerfully give. Plan and practical. Can we do this at our house? I think we could. And people do in our congregation. We have the Love of Christ Fund, the TLC Fund, the Love of Christ Fund. And it's people give to it regularly so that when a need arises, when an elbow starts hurting in the body of Christ, or a foot is broken in the body of Christ, there's funds available. And the people that receive those funds are very touched and very thankful, and they think, my brother and sister in Christ did this for me? And oftentimes I hear, even though we don't require anything, it's not a loan, it's not a payback, it's simply a gift. People who are destitute don't often want to remain destitute. They understand like, hey, God, please get me out of this. Please help me through this, and brothers and sisters in Christ help. And they say, I want to help others when I get through this. And I've been here long enough at St. Paul's where I've seen people actually do that. They don't have to, but they come back and they want to give back to help other people. And they're cheerful in doing it. Planned and practical gifts. And also we could say privileged in the right way. You and I are privileged. We understand that. Privileged how so? Well, we know who God is. We have His Word, the Bible. God let us know who He is, how He created everything, and all He's done for us. We are privileged. when Moses told the people to bring that offering and they would recite all the things God had done for them, you know, and they were to do this time and again when they brought their first fruit offerings, recognizing what God had done. We know this. This is a wonderful, many people in the world search for God or glom onto something that isn't God, thinking it's God, misled, but we know who the true God is. And far more astounding, and that should very much shock us, is that God knows who we are. And God loves us. God knows who you are, and God loves you. We know who we are. And sometimes we don't even love ourselves, because we know what we're like. We know how we've been. We know the things we've done. And yet God says, I love you. God so loved the world. He looked upon the selfish, the lustful, the liars, the grudge holders, the gossipers, the racists, the stereotypers, the mismanagers, the malefactors, the selfish, the sinners, you, me, and the world. And he loved us. Loved us so much, he was willing to give the costliest gifts the world will ever know, past, present, future, the gift of his own perfect son, who was born in a stable in Bethlehem and grew up and lived a perfect life, not just for himself, but for you and me, to credit it to our account. He showed us the way, and then he showed us that he is the only way to the Father, only way to salvation. And the world marveled at this gift for a minute when he did miracles, when he preached with authority, but then quickly they decided, no, we don't want him. And they orchestrated to have him put on a cross and to have him suffer shamefully in front of everyone and then to die, clearly die. And when he was laid in a tomb, they sealed it up, guarded it, because they didn't want him ever to come out or ever to be talked about again. And yet God in his love, 3 days later, raised him from the grave to prove beyond the shadow of a doubt that God keeps his promises, that God truly does love you. Your sins, yes, your sins are forgiven. And not only that, but because Jesus rose from the grave, we know we have an eternity in heaven. And after these bodies have been destroyed, if we die before Jesus comes back on the last day, our bodies will be raised and glorified, and we will be in eternity with him. So are we privileged? Yeah, we're privileged. And privileged people give. Why? Because it's been given to us. We are inheritors. Paul speaks to the Corinthians. He mentions the Galatians. In another place, he mentions the Philippians. All people, different areas of the country, all brothers and sisters in Christ, even if they never met each other, jumping at the chance to give. And you and I, recognizing also what we've been given, the grace and mercy and forgiveness, want to give to. Gifts to those fellow brothers and sisters in Christ in need, treasuring them up, and then when we have opportunity to give those things, whether it's person to person and no one else knows about it, whether it's through the TLC fund or another way. Why? Because it's been given to us. And so our gifts are purposeful, planned and practical, and privileged. Better than any Christmas card. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, as we consider our gifts to the Lord that we want to bring to the Lord to glorify him, to thank him, and to support the gospel work here and abroad. For years, we passed the plate, the offering plate. That was a good thing, part of our worship. Then when we couldn't, someone made beautiful boxes to gather our offerings to the Lord. You know, we have freedom in this, how we do this. Some people give online. You know, they put a QR code into their phone somehow, and it bloop, 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 you know, and then they give, which is wonderful. All the gifts are wonderful. As we encourage each other in our godly stewardship, I just like your thoughts. This isn't a vote or a poll, but I just like your input as we consider what's the best way to do this, to communicate this to the next generation, to our own hearts. If you could put on the back things that you liked to pass the plate, or you like because of this reason or that reason. I'll give you 45 seconds. I had a little bit shorter of a sermon, so let's... 45 seconds, and just put your thoughts on best ways to encourage stewardship and gather our offerings to the Lord.